Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside. Hello and welcome to another Project Love podcast episode. It's Selena here today, flying solo for the first time since before lockdown. I am inviting a guest onto the show and wow, have I got a great guest to start with. I was joined by Nahanda Truscott-Reed, who is founder of Soul Mama, Soul Mama Journeys and the Soul Mama podcast. She is a holistic wellness coach and specifically works with mothers from the start of the journey before conception and all the way through. I have never actually done an episode on here about motherhood, despite being a mother myself, for various reasons that we get into in this episode. I honestly, this is one of the most powerful episodes I've ever done for me personally. I said to Nahanda, I really felt like I needed to have a session with her myself because I have some struggles around the sort of identity of being a mother. It ended up being like a session for me, which hopefully will allow, if you are a mother or thinking about becoming a mother or just curious about the motherhood journey, shows you Nahanda and her power and the way she works with people. Even listening back to the recording, I found the part where she just drops into this healing zone with her voice. I found it so moving just listening back to it. I am so excited about you listening to this episode. Whether you're a mother or not, I think it's, Nahanda is just she's a beautiful soul, a powerful healer. She has her own podcast, by the way, the Soul Mama podcast, which I highly recommend. She'll talk about that in the episode. But yeah, go and search for her podcast wherever you listen to your podcasts. It is a great one to subscribe to. So here it is. I hope you enjoy it. Nahanda, welcome and thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me, Selena. It's a pleasure.
I am so looking forward to this conversation. I feel like it's going to be such a juicy one. And do you know what? It's the first episode that we've ever done on Project Love about motherhood. The first ever. Yeah.
And I didn't realize that.
Yeah. And it could have a little bit to do with my own resistance and issues around the whole topic of motherhood, which I am very happy for us to unpick and unpack that because I think it's because until I saw what you were doing, there was something about the way that you're doing things that really excited me and awakened something in me. I've been listening. I have been devouring your podcast. Can you remind me the name of your podcast so that people can go meet?
The Soul Mama podcast. Thank you so much. It's only recently launched, so we're about 6 episodes deep at this present time. But it's been a long birthing and gestation to kind of get it to this point. And I'm so glad it's like finally out in the world and you're able to listen and enjoy it. It's been a real journey for me on the other end too. So I'm really glad that it's resonating with you.
Yeah, I got so much out of it on so many levels. And yeah, we can dive into that. But let's start off. Please, could you just explain what it is that you do? Because there are so many layers to it on the motherhood journey. I'd love to hear in your words how you work with people and yeah, what it is that you do.
Of course. Well, thank you. So yes, I work with women to support them on their alignment and their energy throughout the sacred journey of motherhood. So for me, that begins almost pre-conception. So really becoming intentional and aware about where you are in your life, about what your relationship is like, about, you know, perhaps past traumas that haven't really had space or time to heal, about becoming really intentional about the kind of woman that you want to be on the journey of motherhood and doing some of that work, that kind of energetic groundwork before even conceiving. And then I continue that journey through the healing modalities of food and energy work and, you know, self-care, which is what I call the soul mama journey, through pregnancy to have a really sacred and bonding pregnancy, into and beyond birth. And then to really honor the sacred window of postpartum for so many women. I feel like this is a really important part of the journey. And then to support women who are already mothers to come back into that remembering of what that alignment feels like, and to recover maybe parts of themselves that they feel they've lost or denied or suppressed on the motherhood journey. So I really think of it as a continuum of care. And so I work with them in all of these different stages to really honor these milestones throughout motherhood, because I believe it's the most transformative journey that we ever have the privilege to kind of go on as women. And it's one of the key things that I think brings us back into our primal sense of who we are and what our purpose is and what our lives are about. And I think it can get very lost in the modern era. And so it's about bringing back these ancient traditions, ways, and ways of knowing and ways of being, so that women feel really empowered on that journey.
Wow. Because I feel like we are, certainly from my own personal experience and seeing mothers around me, I feel that motherhood is in crisis in so many ways, and in our society and the role of mother. What you've described there feels so far away from what I think many women experience motherhood to be, which often seems to be frenetic, self-sacrificing, exhausting, in survival mode the whole time. How have 100%. You, I love what you're saying about going back to ancient practices and things like that. How did you come to this yourself? Like, what's your story? How did you enter it, even conceive this idea that motherhood could be experienced in this, what sounds like a lovely way, but which I think a lot of us are quite far from if we are mothers, feels quite a like long way off from what we're actually experiencing.
Yeah, no, I completely hear that. And I think it was through experiencing what you're speaking about, you know, like feeling that I had dropped into that crisis mode and I was in that space of flailing and trying to just keep my head above water when I had my daughter. And so my daughter's now going to be 5. And so this was 5 years ago, and I had begun the journey in what I talk about as being this very intentional way. You know, I had done a lot of the healing work on myself. I was supporting myself through a period of struggling to conceive. I was, you know, going deeper into what this journey actually means for me as a woman, what it means for me coming from my lineage, what it means for me in this new partnership. Like, there was a lot of soul searching and seeking that was tied into my own becoming a mother journey. But then when my actual daughter was earthside and I was back home alone and my husband had returned to work and my mum wasn't with me, and I was literally like sitting in these four walls and thinking, like, this is the most unnatural way to experience motherhood right now.
Yeah.
And it came from a really deep grieving, you know, like a real sense that there is something that I am really missing out on, that I know that we all inherently desire and deserve in that first window of becoming a mother, of stepping across a threshold of which we've just been initiated, you know, physically, spiritually, emotionally. We've just birthed and become one with new life. And yet it feels like we're so forgotten. Like, I felt so invisible. I felt like everybody else was just continuing on this momentum of time and space. And I was just in the shadows, and nobody even knew that I was here at home with this new baby. And, you know, where were the tribal celebrations? Where were the women coming to massage me? You know, where was the singing? Where was the village, right? You know, and we hear this, that it takes the village to raise a child. And yet I think we all just dismiss that as being like, well, we can't have that, so let's just keep it moving. And I think for me, there was just a real awareness that no, there has to be some ways that we can reconnect to that support, even if it doesn't look like the ways that our ancestors would have enjoyed it. there must be ways that we can begin to still tap into that knowledge and into the ways of nurturing ourselves through, you know, physically, mentally, and emotionally. And so I began to read. I started to go deep into research, you know, reading about how Indigenous cultures, different traditions across the world, historically and now, continue to honor this transition, this journey of motherhood for the woman and not just for the baby. Because I think so many of the services and the information that is available to us as mothers is fully focused on the practical steps that we need to keep a baby alive, which of course is very important, but not much space was being created or I could find or see to really talk about what that felt like. You know, what do you need as the woman who's going through that transition? How have things changed for you, you know, in terms of your identity, in terms of your body, in terms of your connection to feeling safe, in terms of remothering yourself for things that are being triggered and coming up about your own upbringing, you know? And I just realized that this was an opportunity to tap into that for myself and be that for other women. You know, I think as women, as soon as we come into anything that is beneficial to ourselves, our natural desire is to share that with as many people as possible. And it was the same for me. It was a deep knowing that I can't be the only one who's feeling this way and that there are other women who must be yearning for the same. And so really trying to package this in a way that felt accessible and real and something that women could embody and actually take into their own lives and their own families. And that's been the journey I've been on ever since. So, it's a deep one. It continues to evolve and grow, but I just feel so fully in my path on it that I'm just so grateful to have had that experience and to continue to be on that path now, you know?
That's amazing. When you were there sitting on your own, like you say, on your own in a room while everyone else is getting on with their lives and feeling so alone and feeling like you were grieving what you knew your ancestors once had of the village and the support and the experience of motherhood that was so different to the one that you were experiencing. Did you already have an idea of those practices? Did you know about your own ancestry and how it was? Or did you just have a deep feeling and a deep knowing, but you didn't yet know even what that was tapping into? Like, I'm so curious how you were experiencing that grief. Was it from a knowledge or was it just a sense?
I think it's a little bit of both. Like, I had already kind of begun the path of my own spiritual journey. So I was very well versed in things like herbs and plant medicine and, you know, right ways to be in alignment with our bodies in terms of movement practice and yoga, for example, and ways of eating. So that had already been part of my journey just in terms of my own personal well-being, I guess you would call. Yeah. And then I realized that the piece that was missing was about kind of the feminine aspect, like the parts that hadn't really come through in any of the texts that I had come across or any of the teachings that I had access to up until that point. I felt like now I'm moving into new territory for which a new way of being is being required of me. And I don't feel well versed in what that is, you know? And a lot of the things that I think we've managed to pick up fragments of through personal development and through, you know, new age spirituality are still being translated through a very narrow lens, which is normally coming through a Eurocentric lens. And it's normally coming through a middle class lens. There is lots of layers of language and interpretation that, you know, the information has come from before any of us actually receive it. And I think I'd realized deeply that I needed to go beyond that. And I needed to find something that was really resonant to me personally as a woman of color.
Yes.
But also really resonantly spiritually, because I think that a lot of the, I guess, practical tools or things that we should be doing still don't become medicine if we don't have a grounding in our spiritual awareness. And so I kind of felt like there was a whole piece that was missing that I needed to understand and begin to embody. And that began my exploration into energy work and into African spirituality and into the chakra system and how elemental medicine works, and just really finding the common threads through all of that to begin to piece together a healing journey for myself that I then use parts of in different configurations for the women that I serve, you know.
Oh my goodness, you've just thrown so many different words and things at me. I want to dive after all of them. That's what I love, but that's what really comes across with you, is you, there's so much depth to what you do. And I also really appreciate how you, particularly, I don't know if this is in your work, particularly in your podcast, that you are particularly for women of color, not exclusively, but very, and so, which is also just so important, like you say, not coming from that Eurocentric white, you know, point of view the whole time. It needs to be pulled out. It needs to be expanded out. And, you know, I think that's also what I love about, well, your podcast, because I've just been completely just like floating in it. There's the other thing I wanted to say as well, is that just while they're in my head, all the stuff you were saying was, there's a femininity. There's, you know, this need for women to return to the feminine has never been greater than I think when we become mothers. And I know for me, both my exploration of my own spirituality, very nature-based spirituality, which is something I'm exploring at the moment, but also opening up to my feminine. I have a lot of masculine energy. I've always, you know, I'm well aware of this. But I think sometimes my struggle with motherhood is twofold. One is that it's probably that thing of not being comfortable at fully in my own feminine, but also that the kind of picture, that image of motherhood, I don't relate well to it. I'm just like, that doesn't feel like me or who I want to be. So I'll just I'll just do it on my own way and like not think about it. But I feel like I'm missing that spiritual context of being a mother. And what's amazing is you and I are both celebrating 5 years of becoming mothers within the same week. It's so weird.
Yes. Congratulations to you, and happy birthday to your son.
Yeah, and congratulations to you. But how wonderful that we're doing this literally as we come to 5 years of being mothers. How wild is that? What a coincidence.
But it's a real opportunity to celebrate your own milestones, you know, our children's birthdays are a really important time, I think, to come back into a moment of celebration for ourselves and for the journey and for the progress and for the growth and all of the things that we're learning and, you know, becoming along this path. And I find it really interesting when you speak about that sense of, I guess, avoidance, or there being some kind of disconnect with this image of mother and then your own journey. And I wondered if you could speak a little bit more to the image that you were referring to, so that we can kind of go a little bit deeper into what I feel is quite a common thing. I feel like a lot of women are in that part denial, part resistance to, you know, a particular narrative of motherhood. And I wondered what that was for you.
I could tell you exactly what she looks like. She is, she's got like blonde blow-dried hair. This, I mean, with no, you know, no judgment.
No judgment.
Blow-dried hair. But she's like a soccer mom. She's wearing like a lot of beige clothes. And she's just, and it's, yeah, this kind of sense, this smugness, this like competitiveness, just doing it all perfectly, doing it all right. And I'm just like, right. I mean, who wants that? I don't think anyone would say, yes, that's what I'm going after. But I feel like that narrative is in our society, and it is something that we measure ourselves against. And I think it causes huge amounts of perfectionism amongst mothers. Yeah. And for me, it was... and competition. And for me, I was just like, I mean, I was just like, I don't even want to hang around with other mums. When I actually do, like now my son started school, you know, I can enjoy it with some of them. But yeah, I'm just like, but that's what I see motherhood, which is so far from what you're talking about. So it's like, yeah.
Well, the question that comes up for me hearing you describe that is, what for you is your ultimate archetype? You know, not based on anything that anybody else has projected or, you know, modeled or, you know, produced to exploit or sell something or tell you something should be a particular way, but just letting all of that go for a minute and really sitting into your truth of how you want to show up and how you want to be and how you want to feel as a woman and as a mother. What would that look like?
Well, so here's the funny thing. I think, but when I was pregnant, I hear this a lot. When I was pregnant, I had a good pregnancy. First of all, I became pregnant by surprise. It wasn't planned. And I had only been with my partner for about 5 months when we found out I was pregnant. So it was, there was all of that going on. Right. And it worked out very well. So we're celebrating having got to know each other over the past 5 years while being parents. But I think, so the pregnancy was, I was very lucky. I didn't have morning sickness. I felt a bit, you know, rubbish in the first 3 months and wanted to sleep the whole time. Plus getting used to the fact that I was going to become a mother and it wasn't really planned. But I definitely had in my head this earth mother idea. I was going to strap my baby on, carry on with my life, and he or she were just going to come along for the ride. And I was going to be totally chill, totally relaxed, and just carry on. What happened was, and I was going to breathe the baby out. So let's not forget that. I was definitely going to breathe that baby out. I believe I got the birth that my ego needed because that's I so didn't breathe it out. I had a back-to-back birth, which is a very painful one. And I didn't have any drugs. So I had a natural birth, but it was not 1 second of that experience that I enjoyed. And I felt terrified and I felt alone. Even though obviously I had people there and it was in hospital, I was fine with that. But I think that was the moment where any hopes of being this earth mother shattered. I didn't breathe the baby out. I mean, what? Do you know what? Even in my birthing classes, the woman was like, you're not going to breathe this baby out. You're going to turn into an animal, like roar it out. Like I did it. I was like, mm-mm. I was like, not me. Maybe for others. But I think this is a mind over matter thing with the pain. I mean, it was actually, so I really think my ego definitely had the birth that I needed to have. But then I had, probably because the birth was painful for my son as well, or for whatever reason, he was a very angry baby for the first 6 months. I couldn't even take him to a cafe. I couldn't even strap him onto me. He didn't like that. He didn't like being a pram. I certainly couldn't get on with my life as I thought I was going to with this quiet baby and just be this earth mother. So I think that all of that idea as well shattered. So then I've got these two. One is this thing I don't want to be. The other is this thing I thought I was going to be. Yeah. And then I was left going, sod it. I'll just crack on. I will say this though. 6 months in, I got a arthritic condition in my legs. And I literally, my body went stop. Like just stopped me in my tracks. I got it in my arms and my legs. Sometimes I couldn't even pick my son up and I ended up having to take steroids. And what happened was I had this massage and I love healing massages. I have a lot of visuals and a lot of visions. And I went into like my inner healing woman and I said, please help heal me. And she rose up all like thunderous and fabulous. And she went, this is the healing. She was like, you're going down the path of the self-sacrificial mother and it stops here. You will not do this. You need to follow the path of self-love because ironically, obviously I'm there with Project Love and I was thinking, well, I can't, that's not for me anymore because I'm a mother and we don't have time for that kind of thing. And this thing that my body was saying, no, you have to practice self-love and this is your wake-up call. So it literally, I feel my body just, so in that narrative, there was this larger spiritual aspect to that wake-up call. And I love that. But I feel like I need to go back and almost reframe the narrative of those early days as a mother within a spiritual context and realize the lessons that I have learned along the way, but perhaps didn't realize at the time because I was so sleep deprived or
and in the midst, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And thank you so much for sharing that, because I think so many women can relate, not necessarily to the specifics of your journey, but just to that sense of having, you know, an ideal or a vision or a goal of how they expected themselves to feel or to be during that time. And even the work that I do around intention setting and, you know, priming your brain and priming your body, you know, there's still space for what is in that. And so it sounds like from what you're saying that there was a sense of really needing to slow down and not deny the magnitude of what had actually occurred in your life and have this opportunity to really move in a different way and to honor, you know, I use that word because I think it's so true, to honor yourself and the transition in a way that, you know, carrying on with normal life or just trying to get on with things doesn't allow for. And I think it's what a lot of us have been taught is being a good mother is like, well, you've got everything done and, you know, you showed up for the things and you appear to be, you know, presenting in a particular way, which makes everybody not ask if you're okay. That to me is not what this journey is about. You know, it's not about performing for other people. It's not about pretending or pushing our experiencing into something that feels good for others. It's about really sitting and I think being for a lot of us what would be the first time when nothing else is happening, you know, often that maternity leave or that first year or that those first few months even is a window which we are given this lens of kind of otherworldliness, and there is a what I call like a lifting of the veil where you really start to see things in a different way and you realize like so much is tied to my energy. You know, my baby's energy is tied to my energy. So how am I going to serve myself? How am I actually going to replenish myself? How am I actually going to heal myself so that I'm resourced enough to just keep this being alive and thriving and not just, you know, moving from pillar to post the whole time? And so it feels like when you had that moment of awakening, you know, as you described with that spiritual sense of realizing that this is the path, you know, it's nobody else's and it's not going to look like anyone else's, but that this is your path and you just need to be in it and walk through it. What a beautiful testimony.
So do you, when you work with people, because you work with people from, before they've conceived and if they're struggling to conceive, through all the way to just to motherhood at any stage, so I could totally have a session with you, which by the way, that is to come. I definitely feel like I would love to have a session with you.
You are ready.
I think I am. I think it's a beautiful time, 5 years. 5 years in.
Yeah, it's technically
a great milestone.
It's within yogic philosophy, and I say yogic within the feminine yogic understanding. That's still postpartum. You know, a lot of us think postpartum is 6 weeks or, you know, the first year even, but I really hold on to this longer period of feeling like we're coming back into ourselves. And so 5 years is that time. And so,
wow.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
To lengthen that expectation for sure.
Absolutely. How do you help, or do you help people navigate within the relationship, particularly heterosexual relationships, that what I often hear people say is that as soon as they become mothers, they can fall into this like old traditional roles of they are the woman at home with the child and the man is the provider and kind of lets them just take the load of dealing with all the parenting stuff, and it's not really necessarily discussed. There's that the inequality, gender inequality, really seems to rise up in the relationship. Do you see that happen quite a lot with people struggling with
that? It varies. So I wouldn't say there's a broad stroke pattern, but I think there's definitely the need to navigate the roles, like without a doubt, with every single person that I will see and work with. There is this sense of re-navigation and re-understanding of the roles, and even perhaps like a redeployment of the roles. It's kind of communicating those things in a different way and really measuring expectations of yourself, expectations of your partner, and your partner's expectations of himself and of you, and bringing that all to the present, you know, like in the moment. So not necessarily dealing with the past or the future, but just like, where are we right now? Like, what do we both need? How can I show up better for myself? How can you show up better for yourself? And how can we show up better collectively for our child? And so there is definitely that need to reestablish those roles. And I think that obviously naturally it's the time when a lot of women feel pulled in a way that they perhaps wouldn't even have expected, you know, having had a career or forged a business or have some other part of themselves that is like requiring of their actual energy, and then realizing how much energy it takes to nurture a child, and then that kind of navigating of like, okay, so how and where am I going to balance those two? And I think the first thing that I always say is that there is no balance, right? There is no balance because we are taking on the role of what would have been in past times supported by many, many people.
Yeah.
Like, just take a minute to think about that. We would have had women who would have come to our needs, who as the new mother in the village would have come to prepare food, would have come to look after any older children, would have come to rub you and anoint you and massage you, would have come to make sure that the everyday taking care of the house would have been done for you, so that your role as a new mother would just be to be with the baby, to feed the baby, to recover yourself energetically and physically, and then to reconnect to your partner in that family bond, in that family unit. And so I think in this modern nuclear family setup, we're in a very different paradigm for which we don't really have a blueprint. We can't really look to our great grandparents and how they did things, because we're living in a different time that requires different things of us. So it's taking the kind of fundamentals, the things that we need on a real physiological level, i.e. our needs haven't changed, you know, evolutionarily, our needs haven't changed as a new mother. We still need that time. We still need that space. And yet we have the additional requirements of maybe juggling a career or having to return back to work or having to look after the house and do the wife, I guess I'm doing inverted commas, but you can't see me, but do like the kind of traditional wife duties in a way that there is more required from us than has ever been historically before. And so I think the feeling of being overwhelmed or feeling anxious or feeling depressed or feeling like there's no space to breathe, you know, that sense of like, oh my gosh, I'm just literally up to my eyeballs in all of the things that are being required of me. That to me is an indication that that is actually too much for any woman to bear, you know, and there needs to be an acceptance of that and a realizing that it's not your individual failure, you know, because so women come to me with the sense of, I know I should, or I know others are, or I look at my mum and she had five and I've only got one and I'm struggling. And we have these like deep set beliefs and comparisons that, because everybody else seems to be getting on with things and making things look a particular way, that we must be somehow broken or inept or you know, unavailable in a way that that's not true. We are just dealing and navigating in a very different time. And so I always use that as the starting point for all of the women that I work with, and to really just look into ways of creating space through the breath. You know, space in the body, space in the mind, space in the day, space to show up for whatever is happening in your life, and to be with that in a way that doesn't judge it or deny it or resist it, but where you can be with it, see it, and then ask yourself, like, what do I really need? What part of myself is being really called forth here? What do I really need to ask for? Maybe it's that you're asking for more support. Maybe that it's that you're paying for more support. Maybe it's that you're putting certain projects on hold. Maybe it's that you're showing up in your relationship in a different way, or your partner's being called to show up in a different way. But it's being open to that conversation in a way that I don't think many of us do or have been taught that we can. And that really we should, because we need it. We need
Absolutely. Yes. And I love that coming from the starting point of this is really hard, and it, you know, we've got less support now. We're being asked to do more now than we ever had done before. So important to come from that, and that it's, yeah, we're dealing, it's a new challenge and a difficult challenge, because we are doing so much of it on our own.
And so honoring the part of our partners as well, you know, because they're traversing a new territory, a new landscape, you know. Up until 70 years ago, men were not even involved in the birth, for example.
Yes.
And now we expect our birthing our husbands or our partners to be our birthing partners.
To be a doula.
It's a very different expectation we place on our relationship. And so I think it's being able to realize that that relationship is going to feel very stretched unless we're resourcing ourselves individually and collectively to weather that, and to really be able to rise through that rather than, you know, sink.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, that's what I was saying to a mother recently who was really struggling, you know, with finding that she'd got stuck in this role as the full-time mother, and her own career needs and desires had just seemed to be sort of neglected while her partner was just going off to work and carrying on with life. And I said, but, you know, what you need to be doing is expressing your needs and explaining what you need, and just coming from there, from that conversation. And, you know, this is new territory, and asking, you know, for more equal parenting. It's new for everyone, and navigating that and what that looks like for each partner, a partnership, you know, is going to be different. So, yes, I love that. One of the things I wanted to talk about as well was rest. So the first introduction I had to you was through the wonderful Tamu Thomas on her 360 membership, which I'm now a member and I love it. And I did your workshop on rest, and it was so brilliant. And the stuff you were saying was so inspiring about rest and how revolutionary it is. And how there was one thing that really stuck out. You said, if you've had enslavement in your ancestral line, then rest is an integral part of your healing.
Yes, thank you for listening to that talk, and the feedback I've had from it so far has been really overwhelming. So I really thank Tamu for that opportunity. But yes, it was again through observing in myself, like I'm always my first case study in these things, but really observing in myself where the resistance to rest lies and why that feels so deep, you know, like, and really giving myself the space to have all of those thoughts and all of those resistances articulated. And I just began to just journal about it. And then I would see these reflected back in the women, you know, I was giving, so I do like weekly sessions normally, and I will suggest, you know, things that women can do in between. And often they're things that are to do less, you know, like actually clear space and make space. And so, and so whenever rest comes into it, or this kind of practice of self-care or relaxation, that conversation comes up, I always find that's met with so much resistance. And then as I started seeing these kind of echoing patterns of why people said that they couldn't do rest, and women specifically, and then realizing that actually that was almost more heavily laden for women who were coming from a different ancestral line. So women of color or black women who were feeling like, well, rest, that's even more hard for me to do. And they may not have articulated it in that way, but I could see, as, you know, someone who serves all women, I could see how that was showing up differently. And so I really started to look at the differences in my own line between my father, who's coming from Grenada, and his mum and his grandparents and their kinds of ways of being, you know, like rest, there was no space for rest. And how, when we think about privilege today, and obviously there is a lot of awareness in the space at the moment around I guess, anti-racism and an awakening and a consciousness around the nuances around race and privilege, that I was thinking, like, this is something that really needs to be brought to the table, because even something as simple as rest, or so many of the wellnesses practices that we have become like really well versed with in this space, are very different if you're coming from it as a person of color, if you're coming at it from a person who has not had the freedom to actually feel safe in the world at any level, you know? And so rest is really being able to give the body, the mind and the soul the space to reset and to be able to, I believe, when we move past the actual body's need for sleep, once we can actually still continue to show up for rest, we begin to access parts of us, you know, ancestral memory, actual dream work, like ways that we can actually access and resource ourselves that many of us don't tap into because we're so overtired all the time. And so it was this awareness of like, okay, well, what would that look like for someone who's working two jobs with, you know, three children and maybe a single mom? Like, when will they get space to rest? There's the reality as it is. And then there are the choices that we make in between that, right? And so it was an understanding that let us honor the space and the time and how we use it by showing up for the things that we believe to be important. And if what our body's really calling for is rest, how can we really change fundamentally the idea that rest holds in our lives? And see the resistances as they come up for what they are, which are lies and our conditioning and our inherited responses to our ancestors' need to survive, and really honor the place and position that we have now, that we do have sovereignty over our bodies, that we do have the opportunity to make choices about what we put in to replenish our bodies, that we do have choices about downtime, you know, whether or not you're working for somebody else or not. There are pockets of time that we have choices over. So how can we redeploy that in a way that feels healing rather than draining? So rest is obviously one of the keys to that. And being able to be present for the resistance as it comes up is almost an in to the healing as it begins, because it starts to show us where those lies are being held in our psyche, where those resistances are being showed up in our bodies. And it gives us a map to be able to kind of focus on, like, where do we need to go first, if that makes sense. So
yeah,
that session was really kind of bringing all of those to the fore so that women could see that these weren't individual excuses, that these were collective responses to trauma historically, and that now we have an opportunity to rest our way through and heal our way through that.
Oh my God, to rest our way through. That is amazing. And you need to rest in order to heal. You need to be able to come from a rested place.
That's it.
Like you say.
It's the paramount. It's the foundation. And so, you know, a lot of people, when I do a lot of guided meditation, people say, well, I always just fall asleep. Like, I don't feel like I'm getting the benefits from the meditation. And I'm like, well, that's because your body is actually really tired. Your mind is really tired. And so most of us need to sleep more to get us into a space of equilibrium before the rest takes on that next quality of then being able to go deeper or then being able to transcend us, you know. But the body is going to take what it needs first, and that in most cases is sleep, because we are normally sleep deprived.
But absolutely, that of the healing, those kind of ancestral trauma and being able to tell your body and your whole system is now safe to rest. And I think it was in one of your podcasts that you said, isn't it crazy that you know, for those of us who had ancestors who were slaves, it was for our survival, they had to not rest. You know, they couldn't rest. And now in modern day, for our survival and our thrival, we have to say now, oh no, now you do have to. Now rest is an essential part of our getting through this. And I'm sure I can't remember which.
Dr. Kumani Borland. She's a Jamaican naturopath and yogini, and she made that point about how our systems haven't evolved to the level of stimulation that we experience now in the modern world. Mm. And that at one time, you know, it was the ways of survival was being able to take more and to do more and to carry a larger burden. And now our survival depends on our ability to deregulate the nervous system and actually decompress and come back into these spaces of non-stimulation if we're going to survive as a species. And I think specifically for people who you know have come from a line where there has been enslavement or just trauma crisis, you know, there is that on another level as well,
where there's been a fight for survival.
Exactly.
In having this conversation, it's kind of coming to the forefront for me that the journey of motherhood, so much of it from before conception, particularly if you're struggling to conceive, all the way through to, I don't know, having teenagers or when your children leave your home and you get the empty nest and all that, at every single step of the way, there is a need for and an invitation for healing.
That's exactly
and it's a healing journey.
That is exactly it. That's what the Soul Mama journey is about. That's my deep belief, is that, you know,
yes,
that is what we're here to do. That's what the intention of bringing life is for. It's to be able to be present for the things that we most need for ourselves. It's being able to be conscious for how we're removing things that caused us resistance in our own lives up until that point, and how we can create more space for the next generation to not need to fix the same problem. You know, like if we're actually supportive of evolution and we see our part in that, in the micro, as being like, well, I'm gonna heal as much of my stuff as is possible so that my next generation can move through and evolve at a rate that is going to move us forward rather than keeping us stuck. That to me is like the biggest privilege that we can be gifted. It's like, wow, that is a massive opportunity and it's a massive invitation. And I think a lot of us can have children and not even realize that we're on a journey that has the potential to hold that for us and to hold that for our children. And so, yeah, by reframing it as this awakening and as this healing journey, I think it just gives us so many opportunities to go deeper into what we need for ourselves, into actually realizing that we can be the medicine. You know, we don't need to deny our experiences or what we need. It's like, let's just go deeper into that to be present for it and actually gift that to ourselves and to our children.
Oh my God, amazing. Yeah, suddenly I was like, penny dropped. That's it. That's all the context I needed. This is a healing journey, which I mean, I'm very much of the belief that that's what we're here to do. We're here to heal. Like, you know, that is the journey. That's the journey. But I think with motherhood, it takes it to, you know, such depths. And yeah, that's now I get it. That's why it's a sacred journey.
That embodying of that understanding is the beginning, because then you realize like all of these triggers, all of these challenges, all of the things that I've been finding hard is a natural part of my healing journey. And so when you really reframe it in that way, then you can show up for what is necessary. You can show up in a way that perhaps you haven't had access to before, because you're realizing that this is not something I need to avoid or deny or repress anymore. It's something I can be here for, because I know at the end of there is growth, there is evolution, and there is more space that we're creating, you know, spiritually and energetically for the next generation.
Ah, amazing. I've said this already. I'm going to say it again. I'm so grateful that you're here doing this work. I think it's so needed and so important. And I think that I feel that, like I said at the beginning, you know, what you're describing, the experience of motherhood, the experience of it being a healing journey, of being a sacred journey. I think, you know, where can mothers begin when they are feeling so exhausted and so lacking in time? And I know so much of that is resistance also. I know that we do lack time when we're parents. We, you know, there's no doubt about it. But like you were saying before, yes, there is you know, small amount pockets of time, but it's what you choose to do with that, you know, that can make all the difference. Where do you recommend people start with beginning to, just to start on this journey?
Yes. So the first thing that I encourage women to do is to really drop down. And I normally start this with a kind of guided visualization, but to drop down from the head, moving through the chakras, using the breath and using visualization and guiding them through all the way down into the womb. And so we sit in the seat of the womb. And so when we think about the womb in an energetic space, it's between the sacral chakra and the root chakra. And the sacral chakra energetic quality is water, and the root chakra energetic quality is earth. And so when you think about the womb being in this holy space, this sacred space between water and earth, we begin to connect elementally and energetically into what those two qualities mean for us in our lives as women. And so that kind of beginning, that kind of coming into the darkness, coming into that space, that sacred space, and really sitting at the temple of the womb. And so I will guide women through this visualization, and I'll encourage them to feel into what those qualities bring up in them. You know, what does earth mean to you? What does water represent to you? How does that feel? You know, what associations, aversions, inclinations does that bring up for you personally? And then we'll speak through those things, and I'll come back into this moment of space, and I'd encourage them to come almost in a sense of reverence to the womb as an altar. And so I get them to imagine and visualize themselves being in this energetic space, this holding of the womb, and to come down and to let go of all of the things that have been kind of clouding the vision or clouding the mind or just keeping them disconnected from this sacred space, and to lay it down almost as if on an altar table in this realm of the womb. And so they will normally speak out loud what those things have been for them. So, you know, the job or the partner or whatever that is for them. And we just hold space. We just hold the space. I hold the space. They lay that down in any way that comes up for them. Sometimes it doesn't come up as words. Sometimes it's images. Sometimes it's feelings. It's textures. It's sensations. It comes in myriad forms. And then I say, and receive now. So actually opening your palms and opening to receive. What do you need to know most right now in this moment? And so they're kneeling at the temple of their wounds, and their hands are open. And always the medicine that they need comes up. And they say what they need, you know, they say what they need. And that is the beginning of the journey, being able to come home to that place without that necessity of me guiding them through it. But when they've actually felt it and they can actually feel into that signature and know that they can get there again with their breath and with their visualization and with their imagination and in their bodies, and actually come to that sense of sacredness in themselves, and from that place move through life. So if that was the starting point of your day, how is that going to change the way that you move your body? How is that going to change the words that you speak? How is that going to change the choices that you make about what you do with your time, or who you let into your space, or how you speak to yourself, or how you speak to your child, what foods you're going to eat? Everything shifts and changes because we're coming from this place of honoring ourselves.
Oh, wow. You, I felt so emotional when you said that, so calm by the end of it. And you know, it was so funny when I first asked that question, I was expecting tools, tools and tips and like time management or something. And of course, no, you take people on a journey to go inwards. And oh, wow. So, well, I'm signing up for a session.
Hey.
I mean, that's just... just let me know when you've got some space in your calendar and I'm in there.
Oh,
and you know what? I tell you something, just coming full circle back to the question you asked me, and then I never fully answered it, about what was the kind of mother I would like to be if I didn't want to be the soccer mom, or if I had like, and you know, I said I'd wanted to be like the earth mother, but she was a perfection as well that I couldn't achieve, because you know what? Sometimes I'm not the calm, patient mother, and I certainly didn't have a calm and patient baby to strap on me and walk around. And I think as you've been, you know, kind of talking, and perhaps towards the end there, just as you started and explaining where you take people, I just thought it is, you know, I want to be a creative mother and to be moment to moment responding to the needs of my child, my needs, the needs of my partner, the needs of our family. And, you know, that's the kind of mother I want to be. And she has no image other than just my own face. Rather than trying to be something else that I'm not, I want to be able to be imperfect and, you know, sometimes a bit all over the place, and then bring it centering back again and playing with it.
Beautiful.
This is how I approach my work. You know, I approach my work with such a confidence, a playfulness and fun and creativity. And I forget that, you know, parenting can be just like that.
Oh, I love that.
And to give myself permission to do it my way.
Definitely.
You've given me a session.
Well, there we go.
Doubled up.
First one down.
Secretly disguised as an episode.
No.
Oh, wow. This is so powerful.
That's so beautiful to hear you describe that and to really embody that, like, you know, to say that it's my face on that image, you know, on that version of myself that I'm moving towards. And I think the key word that you use there about creativity, and then you followed it up by saying I want to be able to respond. And of course, being able to respond requires certain levels of presence and awareness and in-tuneness. And I would like to give that invitation to bring that creativity forwards into that moment by moment unfolding, because there is one way of being which is very reactive, which is very responding and responsive, and yet we forget that playfulness that you then went on to describe with your work, that comes up front and center in the creative aspect of how that might look or how you want that to feel or how you want to channel your energy. You know, there's what's happening and how you need to be with that. And then there's what do you want to create more moments of? And so that's a two-part journey of being able to say, I want to be able to create the capacity and the presence and the awareness to be able to show up in my fullness for what is and what's happening and what's unfolding in any moment for my son and for my partner, and for myself. And where is the space for me to create more intentionally what that might look like? Whether it's moments or rituals or practices or things that you want to do or ways that you want to show up or ways that you want to move, you know, like I was inclining at the end of that visualization. So it's those two things. I would invite you to hold both of those in myriad, because it takes both for us to move through with ease through this journey.
Oh, amazing. What you are doing is so powerful and beautiful, because it's giving context to motherhood in a way that, well, I don't think I'd, yeah, in a new way for me, but that helps to make motherhood so fulfilling and healing. And I think that's what we are desperately missing in our society and in that role of motherhood. I just don't, yeah, even with all the work that I do in self-development, I hadn't got to that around being a parent, of that it can be, yeah, Beautiful. I'm slightly lost for words now.
Thank you so much for just having this conversation, because it's one that I'm, you know, I'm growing in my own confidence to express, because I know some of the things, if people haven't heard before, can feel a little bit confronting. But I hope it has at least given some inclination into some of the information that is available, but also some of the capacities of ourselves that we have untapped, you know. And I always encourage women to kind of think about it as an inward out journey. And so, yes, there are resources. Yes, there are tools. Yes, there are teachers. And yes, I do this work one-on-one, but the journey beyond that container is the real thing, right? It's actually you being in your life and showing up in a way that feels good for you and feels good for your family. And so, yeah, really owning that and coming back to that empowering knowledge for ourselves and realizing that we do have the keys, we do have the answers, we do have the things that we need most within us. It's just about creating the space and supporting ourselves to really tap into that resource and tap into those tools. And so I think if women can go away feeling that, I feel so happy.
I am so excited you're here and you're doing this work. And yes, people will resist it. They will resist what you're saying, because I felt that resistance. I could feel it in me, you know, that resistance, sacred. Oh, you know, it's just like, you know, can you just make it a little bit easier or just a bit? But actually, no, we just got to really lean into it and listen.
Feel.
I really recommend and feel. Mm. And I think that I absolutely. Can't wait to hear more of your podcast. I can't wait to do more work with you. So please explain all the different ways that people can get more of your wonderful wisdom and take part in your different courses and coaching and everything you offer.
Yes. So the website is www.soulmamajourney.com. And that holds all of the information about all of the different courses that I do. And so the three signature courses are the Conscious Conception for women who are wanting to come into this space of alignment before conceiving. I do Sacred Pregnancy and Postpartum for women who are in the midst of pregnancy and are wanting to really come into this resourcing of themselves before they embark on birth and work out how in advance they can really nourish themselves after the baby is born. And then I do women who are already mothers, who are feeling that sense of overwhelm or exhaustion or burnout, helping them with the same tools but in a different manifestation to come into the sense of thriving and full energetic alignment. So details of all of those are online. They're evergreen, so I just roll them one-on-one with women. And then I have the Soul Mama podcast, which you so kindly spoke about, which is available on all platforms. And I speak to lots of leaders, authors, women who've really inspired me in this work, women who are mothers themselves or have experienced one part of the motherhood journey, who can speak to that. And I've made a point of really centering the voices of women of color, just because in the podcast landscape and in the motherhood space, I hadn't seen any places where I was reflected in that way. And so I've made that an intentional focus on the Soul Mama podcast. But I think it's really nice for women of all races to be able to tune in and listen to that.
Oh yeah. It brings an extra richness because it's voices of women of color. I think I love it.
And it's a global conversation, you know. I want it to be something that could speak to women who are living in the diaspora or women who were in the Caribbean and who are also invested in wellness, because often wellness doesn't look as diverse as it should. And I got a very strong call to kind of create and reflect back the women that I hold in high esteem. And so every time I sit down to have a conversation with a woman, I feel like it's like my own personal wise woman circle, where I'm like, women I really want to learn from, you know. So I hope women benefit from those. And then I'm also now thinking about ways to, I guess, to bring the message into ways that women can just use themselves without having to necessarily work through a program with me. So I'm looking into guided meditations and kind of small inroads that women can just begin to do at home. I'm very I'm very invested in things being as accessible and as affordable and as wide-reaching as they need to be for all women. So that's my next kind of expression, thinking about all of those ways and stepping into that.
Oh, yes.
And then I'm on Instagram as well. So Instagram at Soul Mama Coach for just all of the stuff in the meantime. I try and keep it updated as much as possible.
Yes, I follow. I love it. You did a hilarious post the other day where your children were standing very, very close to you. And you were like, oh my God, this has been lockdown. And I was, and actually I didn't even start with this, but the reason I really wanted to talk about motherhood finally, because I just wanted to say, primary carers, because it isn't just the mothers, but I mean, wow, lockdown has been. And if your kids are, well, you've got two kids below five, it's,
this has been quite a testing
time.
And I agree with you, definitely saluting all of the parents out there who have been juggling work, who've been juggling relating, who've been juggling being at home with multiple children or young children. You know, even when I do this work, I think sometimes people feel like I'm immune to the stresses of motherhood, and I'm most certainly not. I put my hands up now. Like, I am in there with you, but it's just about channeling these messages in a way that I access them for myself, and, you know, each woman accesses them for herself too. So we can all support each other on this journey. And I think the more that we know that we're not alone, and the more that we know that this is a collective experience, the more we can lean into the sisterhood and the resources that are available in that knowing.
Oh, Nahanda, thank you so, so much.
Thank you, Selena. It's been a pleasure.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes, and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.